And today we're gonna start with one verse, and then we're gonna move to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. But we're not covering all those. Don't worry. Don't get fearful. We're not gonna go through three chapters in one day. We will go through bits and pieces, however. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in New York, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I know it's in there somewhere. I think it might have added that. But you know what that means? I'm sure you guys are covered in the utmost part of the earth. Amen? God has allowed you and us to have a church. And Jesus Christ died for the church. The church is Jesus Christ's bride. And nobody better touch your bride. Amen? And so the church is pure and righteous and holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the cross of Calvary. And because of the cross of Calvary, we all have hope. Hope of eternal life in God, which cannot lie. Promise before the world began. And so God has given us a wonderful promise in the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to last and endure forever, 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. We can count on this book. We can stand on this book. We can even die for this book, and many have. Because this book is not just a religious publication. This is the very words of God that has been preserved and will continue to be preserved until Jesus Christ comes back. And so when we study God's Word, this is exactly what it says it is. It is the Word. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so when I preach, I don't have to worry about how I perform. Do you know why? Because the Word does the work. And the Holy Spirit does the work in your heart. And so all I have to do is give it out. And so I'm going to give it out today, and hopefully it'll land in good, fertile ground, and we'll all have a good time in Jesus. Amen? Talking about money, though, sometimes puts us on edge. Do you feel queasy already? Actually, we have a very generous church, and I understand that y'all are very generous people too. I want to put you at ease for right now, because I want you to understand that giving is exactly what Jesus did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus gave so that we might live. Jesus gave so that we might be able to give. Jesus gave, and he's called on us to give. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many times, if we're tight, it's because our treasure is really in our back pocket or purse. And that's all where our heart is. But if our heart's in the right place, it doesn't matter where the treasure is, we're going to give it. We're going to talk about it in just a moment, but in 2 Corinthians, God says, before you give, first give yourself. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But God wants us to realize that he has empowered us. He has called us. And by the way, what we learned in Sunday school, I'm just going to give you three words. Mission, missionary, and commission. The mission is that we have a purpose. God has called us out for a purpose. And that purpose is to give out the gospel and start churches. Because God wants us to continue this cycle. It's through the church. It's through the individuals winning people and bringing people in. That's our purpose. That's our mission. As a missionary, all we are, that's just a word. It's a missionary. I guess the airy covers men, women, boys, and girls. But anyway, what that really means is we are the people that are performing the mission of going out and starting churches and winning people to Jesus Christ. Actually, it works first, winning people to Jesus Christ and starting churches. And we are commissioned. Commissioned. Now, if you just put co-mission, then what you understand from that is God has empowered us through his Holy Spirit and goes with us for the mission. And the mission is, what's the mission? Starting churches or winning souls? Whichever order that was, I got to program myself backwards. Let's do it. Winning souls and starting churches. So that's our mission. Let's do it again. Start winning souls and starting churches. I still wanted to do it backwards. I've been backwards all my life. But I'm telling you today, what God wants us to do is remember the mission that we are missionaries, and it's a commission. God has empowered us for the work that He wants us to do. You're not alone. God is in us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? All right, so it's love. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, overflowing, shall men give unto your bosom. And with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again." There's two things in that before we get started. One is, who does God use in His giving process? People. And God gives through others. God gives through men. And He gives back to us in accordance with how much we give. Have you ever thought, well, I just don't seem to be getting the blessings? Maybe you're waiting for getting blessings instead of giving blessings. If you'll give some blessings, you'll get some blessings. Amen? It's a funny cycle. But God says, "Give and ye shall get." That's a paraphrase. But this is what God wants us to do. And if we're not good givers, then we have not fully learned the love of God, because He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. But He didn't just give the pocketbook. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave it all, my friend. He gave it all. He gave Himself through the form of His Son, who left the glories of heaven and came to this bitter earth and went through much toil, much persecution, and rejection because people didn't want His message. And by the way, they won't want yours either because they don't like Him. They won't like you. So don't be afraid if somebody doesn't like you because you try to share Christ with them. Just do it anyway. They need it. It's like the old timers used to give you castor oil. It would cure everything. It stinks. It's terrible. It's yucky. And I don't even know if it works. But they were convinced it did. So if you got sick, you got it. Didn't matter if you want it or like it. You got it. You know, sometimes that's how we need to be with the gospel. We know what it'll do. And we know how it'll change us. And we know that it works. But we refuse to give it out. We're scared. We're scared to tell somebody for fear they might not like us or fear they might reject us or some kind of fear. And sometimes we're fearful to give because we're counting pennies and we're counting the dollars and we're looking at the bank account and we're saying this just won't happen. It can't happen. It's numerically impossible. Well, don't ever say that when it comes to God. I can remember different times when we were in need. I got an envelope, I opened it up, and there was a money order. And all it said on the money order was from God. Now, with money order, you didn't have to sign your name to it. And so there it was, a money order, and it said, "From the Lord." You know, we are His extension of His hands. We are His extension of His heart. The heartbeat of God. We are the heartbeat of God on this earth. We're giving out the Word. That's the heart of God. And so as we give the Word out to people, we give life. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I give you life and I give it more abundantly." And I'm telling you today, if you're not enjoying the abundant life of Jesus Christ, then you've got some growing up yet to do. And we're all growing. And by the way, I won't tell you how old I am, but you can tell by my hair I wasn't born yesterday. I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I love history. I love to learn the Bible. I love to learn. And I'm not close enough to Jesus yet. I'm going to tell you, I'm just not. I don't know Him like I really want to know Him. Do you? Do you? Do you know Him? Maybe you know Him exactly like you want to know Him because you don't want to know Him any more than this, because if you knew Him any more than this, He might ask more of me. Well, I'm telling you what, God will never ask you to do what He doesn't provide for you. There's proof. There's proof. God always provides. You go God's way, He pays the way. You go your way, you pay the way. Which way do you like it? He's got more than I got. Go God's way every time. It won't be easy. It'll be tough. It'll be against your grain. It won't even be, look like it's right. But if God puts it on your heart, it is right. It is right. It's the love of God that causes us to give. There's three types of giving in the Bible. There's called the tithe. There's grace giving, you might say, or the gift of giving. And there's sacrificial giving. And so these three types of giving are different. The tithe is actually a debt that we owe. The tithe is a 10%. I believe in the tithe. We should give the tithe. Anything you give over the tithe is a gift. Many times people say, well, I want this to be sent to so-and-so. I want this to this mission or whatever. But if you're not tithing, you're not ready to give. You got to tithe first. That's the place where you start. And then if you want to give, you give. But those are different things. If you don't tithe, you're not tithing. You just gave some money, of which the church will never turn away.
That's right. Amen.
Right? I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it's going to go to the Lord's work. But you miss the blessing. You see, giving is not for the church. You're not giving to pay the light bill, though you are paying the light bill. You're not giving to pay the preacher, though you are doing that too. You're not giving for any of those purposes. You know what you're doing? You're worshiping Jesus Christ when you give. That is your love gift. If you give it to the church, then you're losing your blessing, because you're looking at it as, okay, this is a stinking bill and I'm tired of it. What do they need that for? What are they doing with it? And then you become nitpicky and you don't give it. You kind of have strings attached to it. But I'm telling you today, if you love Jesus, you give it to Jesus. Because it's what he told us to do. He says, give it to me. I'll read you some verses with that in just a second. God told us in the book of Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What does that verse mean? That means bring all your tithes here. This is where you bring them, to your church. You don't send them to the TV preacher, because when your kids are in the hospital or something like that, that TV preacher ain't coming. I'm just going to tell you. Who's going to come? That guy. You don't send it to some faraway source or something, even though they're good. Why is that? You send it here. And what does it do? If you wanted to give to some faraway source, go through the church, because that's God's institute. So what is God asking us to do? He's saying, bring our tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat for everybody. Everything works, that we're able to take care of the missionaries, that we're able to use it for ministry expenses. You look around this building, I have no idea what it looked like before, but I have a mindset that I think I can figure it out. But you look at it now, and it's gorgeous. You look around at the equipment that's in this room, and we enjoyed it as we sang. We enjoyed it as we saw these things come up. We enjoyed even to see a monitor in the back. All these things that we're seeing, but it all costs. It costs for us to be able to worship. It costs for us to have a location. It costs for us to be able to come here. But when we give, we don't give it for those things. But that's part of the ministry. We give to Jesus. We give it to Jesus. Give to Jesus. If you give to Jesus, he'll pour you out the blessing. He'll open the windows of heaven, not for the church, for you. You see, the blessing is promised to you for your giving. And if the church misuses the money, the church will pay for that. Amen? But your blessing is secure because you gave it for the right heart. Your blessing is in your giving. You see, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a faithful giver. God loves people that are obedient in their giving. Giving is the name of the love of Christ. It's the heartbeat of God. Just as We're talking about finances to fund missions. That's what we're talking about today. The heartbeat of God is the missions, but even the missions requires funding. God had a way. God thought of all of that together. He says, first off, I'll rebuke the devourer. I don't know about you, but every now and then my tires last longer. My shoes last longer. I'm wearing, not these pair, but I got a pair of dressier shoes that I've had 15 years. I didn't wear them today because John actually told me, don't wear a suit, Brother Joe. I love suits. This is the closest thing I could get to not wearing one. And I would have not worn this except it was cold. So I needed a little extra help. You know, the older you get, the colder you get. I don't know how that is, but that's how it is. So, but I'm not dead yet. There's still some heat going on in me. All right. Giving is a form of worship. Tithing is a debt we owe. Giving is a seed we sow. Faith promise is so others can go. There's a little rhyme there. So God says that faith promise, that's where we're really going to get to here in just a second, is so that others can go and give out the gospel in another land. Can God take care of them all by himself? Sure he can. But you know, if you have a part in someone else's life to spread the gospel, then they're part of your family. Amen? The family of God. We're a part of this family of God because you guys have taken us into your bosom. You have taken us in and loved us through your giving, though I never met you. We've loved you. Though we've never met you, as soon as I got here on this place, I could feel the love of God and the sweet communion that we can have together. Folks in Georgia say that New Yorkers are cold and they're hard to get to know. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're lying to me. Because you guys are nice. You're very nice. And you're very loving and very kind. You see, God is good. When God is in your heart, you radiate the love of God. Where does your money come from? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8:17, "And thou sayest in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth." This is how a person feels. But this is what God says. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." So then where does your money come from? God. How did God give it to you? First off, he taught you an occupation. You might say, well, I went to college, bud. And I put a lot of money in. I put a lot of time in. And I worked hard for it. No, you didn't. God gave you the health to do it. God gave you the money to do it. God gave you the motivation to do it. God put it in your heart to do it. And God opened the door so you could do it.
Amen.
God does it all. All we do is keep walking through open doors. Amen?
Amen.
You see, it depends on how you look at life. God is my source for everything. Anything I've ever wanted, I'm not saying this seriously. I don't have a whole lot, but anything I've ever really wanted, God has given it to me. God doesn't withhold any good thing from us. But if we hoard, or if we covet, or if we consume it upon our own lust, God won't be in that. But if we just live, and things come up that we have need of, or things come up where God just wants to kind of give his kids something. You know how you are with your kids? So every now and then you just want to give them something to say, hey, Mom, Dad loves you. And you've been good. And I just want to make sure, maybe this will just show you know how much I love you. Now, stuff doesn't usually make us really know. You know what really makes us know when we're loved? When somebody just looks you in the eye and says, I love you, and gives you a big hug. That's when you can read eyes. You can read eyes. You can read eyes. Our text in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He'll send us to the uttermost parts of the earth. But as a missionary, we're missionaries right here. Everything started with the Jerusalem church when it came to missions. God started there. Peter went out to Samaria. He put his stamp of approval on that. Peter went to the Gentiles, put his stamp. Remember, the Bible talks about he gave him the keys to the church. Peter started all these different little places. He started the Jerusalem church. He started the Samaritans off. Now, he wasn't the one, actually. Philip had gone to the Samaritans. But Peter went to make sure that all these knots were tied together. So there's not a bunch of renegade people out there just doing things. Everything comes back to a source. The church all came from Jerusalem. The Antioch church came out from Jerusalem. From Antioch, Paul went out and started churches all over Europe and Southern Asia and around through there. But it all came from Jerusalem. And we all came from Jesus. And we all came, if our roots go back that far too, then we all, this church came from that as well. Paul the missionary was glad when churches helped him along the way, and churches did help him. And he said this to the church in Philippi, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." That's a great missionary verse. You know what that means? I had a missionary come to my church one time, and he says, "I'm a moochinary." I started to say, "Well, go home. I don't like moochers." Because I don't look at missionaries as a moocher. And so I told him, I said, "Don't ever say that again. You didn't come here to mooch. You came to allow us to partner with you in your work for the work of the Lord." I said, "Don't go to churches and tell somebody you're mooching. Do you like a moocher? But you will support a cause, right?" And this is what Paul was saying. He's saying, "Hey, I'm not desiring your money. We're partnering together. And the blessings that come to me come to your account too." God shares the blessings. So when you give, you actually get blessings from wherever that money goes from too. Interesting how God gives, isn't it? So you're not just paying the light bill or the preacher or something like that. You're actually investing. You're investing in the work of the Lord. You're investing in what God is doing in this location and around the world. And you're giving it from the right heart. And when you give from a right heart, God rewards it every time. Every time. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for just a second. Just read first 5 verses of chapter 8. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Macedonia is in Greece. Macedonia would take in the area of Athens, Greece. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Notice they were poor. Sometimes we all feel that way. Car breaks down or whatever happens, taxes go up. And I think you guys have the highest taxes in the world, don't you? Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? But you know, God takes care of us even in all of those things. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. This is missions. This is faith promise missions here. We've gone past the tithe and we've gone past the gift. Now, there was a purpose for this giving. The church in Jerusalem had gone into famine. The church in Jerusalem had come into a great need. And so these churches that Paul had started all through Greece and up down through Lower Asia and all the way back into Antioch and all the way back down to Jerusalem, Paul says, you know, the Jews have hated the Gentiles. They have. Wouldn't it be nice if we as God's people banded together to help the Jews? And so he said, let's take up an offering. And let's take that money and we'll take it to Jerusalem and we'll help them. There was a need. Who was the missionary? Paul was the missionary. And they took this gift, eventually, this is where it ended up, in Jerusalem to help them through the famine that was going on in that particular area. So Paul was receiving a gift, not for himself, but for the ministry. And so he's just the man in the middle, you might say. But he noticed this. This is what's so interesting, I think, verse 5. "And this they did not as we hoped." In other words, they didn't just take up an offering like we thought they would, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, if you give yourself to the Lord, that sounds easy, but it's difficult. Most Christians have a hard time giving themselves to the Lord. They can actually give their money. before they can give themselves. And especially if you have means. It's not a big deal sometimes to give, though it is a big deal. But I tell you, the hardest thing to do in your life is to give yourself to Jesus Christ. Because what you're actually doing is willing your life over and placing it on the altar, and you're saying this. You're saying, I love you, Jesus, and I've made a mess of my life, but you've saved my soul. You've given me hope for heaven. You've forgiven my sins, and you've come into my heart now, and now, Lord, I want you to have my life. Can you think about what could happen if God was totally empowering you and that you actually let him? But we most of the time say, I love you, Lord. I sure do love you, Lord. But we stiff arm him and we hold him off and we try to keep him away because we're afraid he might ask too much. I think selling it all and doing all that, that's not like that, is it? That's like, help, Lord, thy servant needeth thee. And God came through. And God will always come through. And God will come through in your life. The principle and the promise are here, and they never change. God is always working. But you have to come to the same place this Corinthian church did, and you have to say, they first gave themselves. Give yourself to Jesus. When you give yourself to Jesus, basically what you do in your own heart's mind is you picture yourself at the foot of the cross. And you look up and you look at Jesus on that cross. And you can almost hear him say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And you can almost in your mind imagine the agony that Jesus went through to save your soul and mine. And then on your knees, you look up and you say, Father, I give you my life. I don't know what I'm doing, but I give you my life. Best way I know how, I give you my life. And you know what? God will begin to work in your life. It's slow. Immediately God says, thank you, I'll deal with it. But your life will take a slow course to glory. Day by day, month by month, maybe even year by year, mark it down from the day you said, Jesus, I give you my life. You look back in a year. You look back in 2 years. And you see how far you've come. Amen? You see how far you've come. How far do you want to go with Jesus? I'm telling you, I'm proof. It gets gooder and gooder. It's not good English, but it's good theology. It gets gooder and gooder. God is good. And God is so good, you can't outgive him. God is so good, you can't outdo him. God is so good. Here's how Christianity works today. We have we pull out our rabbit's foot when we have need, and we rub our rabbit's foot. And we say, hey, God, come through for me now. I need you. I got a problem. It's big. It's huge. And then when God does come through or does not come through, depending on what God wants to do, we put the rabbit's foot back in our pocket and we forget him for a while. The reason for that is because God is a part of our life and not our life. You see, God should be the hub of our whole life. And our life is compartmentalized. And the things that we have to do are the spokes in our life. Everything comes out of God. If you let God lead, then he'll lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he'll lead you in places you never have thought you'd ever been. You know, by God's leading in my life, I have been all over the world. Uncle Sam paid for a lot of it. I was an old Navy guy. I've been to mission fields in various continents of the world. And I've seen God work. You know what happens? God works the same in every one of these places as he's working right here in New York. I've seen hardened heathen just glow with the love of Jesus in foreign countries. People that didn't even know the name of Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus, the name of Jesus, has power. Amen. And the Holy Spirit has the power. And when God comes into your life and changes your life, you've been changed. The gospel works, my friend. And so we're asking you today to not give because of the light bill. We're asking you to give out of obedience. We're asking you to give because God wants to give in your life, and He measures His gifts to you as you measure your gifts to Him. Funny about that, isn't it? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." The Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia," Achaia would have been Corinth, "but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." We don't even have to ask. You're ready. All right, they became givers of the Lord. Now, what made the difference here? They first gave themselves. They first gave themselves, and then they gave their heart, then they gave their substance. They gave it all. They gave it all. Some might say, "I can't do this. I don't understand this. This doesn't work. I'm hurting. This wouldn't work." But the Bible tells us this church gave out of their poverty, not out of their abundance. It does work. You can't outgive God. I'm just telling you, I'm living proof of it. You just can't outgive God. But you got to give. And when you give, you worship God. When you put the money that you want to give for God in an offering, when you drop that in the plate, I guarantee you, if you'll just say, "Jesus, I love you so much. Here's my love gift to you." It'll change the way you think about the offering. "Here's my love gift to you." And you drop it in there. Then it doesn't become a bill. Or how are they spending my money? Now it's your offering. It's your gift to the Lord. And that's when God takes over and the blessings come. 1 Corinthians there, or 2 Corinthians, they went through great trials of affliction. They went through poverty. They gave beyond their measure. And they did it all by faith. 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 You know, there's a great illustration in the Bible about that kind of faith. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll not read it, but it's 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16. It's the picture of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Everybody probably knows the story, but anyway, let me give it to you. Things were tight. There was famine in the land. And God spoke to Elijah, and he says, "Go to Zarephath." It was a Gentile city. And he said, "Go to Zarephath," and he said, "You'll find a widow there. Ask her for food." So he goes into Zarephath, and when he found that the widow was there, she found the widow with a little thing of oil, a little bit of bread, and she was just about to take her last bite of food, share it with her child, and die. She hadn't gotten the message yet that God was going to use her to take care of Elijah. But Elijah had gotten the message, and so he went to her, and he says, "Ma'am, before you give that to you yourself and to your son, give it to me." Now, people today would have said, "You mean you would have taken the money from a widow woman that didn't have a dime and just a last bite of food? You'd take that? The church would do that?" This is the illustration that God laid out for us. And God told Elijah, "Feed me first." And so the woman was obedient. How it would happen, but she was obedient. And she gave him first, and all of a sudden, you know the rest of the story. The oil never ran out. Amen. The oil never ran out. But she would have never known the miracle if she hadn't first, by faith and by obedience, answered the call. You see, faith is a tough thing because we don't see it to believe. We believe it to see. Does that make sense? We have to believe it and act upon it as if it already had happened in order to see it happen. Sometimes you might say, "I can't give, preacher. I can't give." But if you give, then see how God gives back. See how God works. Because it's not about the money. It's about your heart. Because where your treasure is, there will be your, what is this? Heart. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. So God is reaching into your heart, that hard-earned money that we work so hard for and it's so hard to keep and so hard to have enough. And God says, share it with me before you feed your family. Share it with the work before you feed your family. And just like the widow of Zarephath, I guarantee you, you'll eat and live and keep on living. I told the folks in Sunday school, but in Atlanta, 1 in 5 homes have been foreclosed on in the entire state of Georgia. 20% of the homes in Georgia have been foreclosed on. The recession has hit our people hard. The recession has been tough. There hasn't been famine in the land, but it's been tough out there. Maybe some of you have been hit that same way. It's a pitiful thing. It's a scary thing. It's a hard thing. But you know something? All the people that I know that have gone through that have bounced back on their feet. All the Christians that I know have made it. God has a purpose for everything He does. And it may not be how we would plan it, but it's how God planned it. You know what God's doing? He's knocking the diamond dust off of you to make you the best that He can make for His glory. He wants you to shine for the glory of God. And He's honing in on this diamond that we call ourself to make it shine with many facets. And it hurts. I'm telling you, growing pains hurt. And if you're going to grow in giving, it's going to hurt. There was a man named Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson was a businessman. He owned a pallet business. He started it himself in his basement. And Russell Anderson had built this business up. It doesn't take much to start a pallet business if you're doing recycled pallets. It takes a big, strong guy, crowbar, skill saw, and a nail gun, basically, and you're in business. And a pickup truck with a trailer on the back so you can haul pallets. But he made very well at it. In fact, now he's a multi-millionaire. But at that time, he was starting his business. He had a secretary in himself, and that she took care of business, and he took care of the business. And one day, he says, Lord, if you'll make this business prosperous, I'll give you at least 10% of it all the time. And so he took on missionaries, his business. He himself took on missionaries. And he began to support a whole series of missionaries as well as tithing on it. And one day a missionary called him up and he says, Russell, I got a need, man. I got a need. And he says, well, what do you need? And he says, I need $1,000 and I need it now. And so Russell says, he knew in his heart he had $1,000, but it covered stuff. You know what I'm saying? It was there, but it wasn't there. You know that kind of business? You know, sometimes, okay, I got the money, but it's got to pay this, 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 and this. And he told me, he said, man, I just can't do that. I can't do it right now. I said, I'm covered up, and my business has been really slow. And so it broke his heart when he hung up the phone and he said that he couldn't give that guy the money. And almost immediately he called his secretary and says, call that guy back. And God had already pricked his heart. And he called the guy back and he says, listen, I'll send it right out to you. I'm sorry I said that, but I'm just a little bit fearful. I don't have the money, but I have the money. I'm going to send it to you. I know you need it. And so he did. Within an hour, he tripled and quadrupled and five timed the amount of that $1,000 in business that came in within an hour. And he began to say this expression, you give till it feels good. You give till it feels good. You give till it feels good. Are you feeling good yet? Are you feeling good yet? You give till it feels good. God put him to the test. He almost failed. But he's human. We're human. And we start adding things up and say it doesn't fit. But that's how God works miracles. He takes the widow's bread, the widow's oil, and he makes it into something that only God can use. That's what faith promises, by the way. You tithe. You can give gifts to whoever you want. But faith promises this. Let me explain it to you. And then we're going to pass out faith promise cards. Faith promise is a promise that you and the Lord make together for a figure that you would like to give to missions. From what I can understand, you have seven missionaries at $100 apiece, so that's $700. The only way to take on more missionaries is to have more funds. The way to be able to take care of issues that come up, and by the way, several have, I know you guys have probably talked about that, but missionaries would call and say, hey, I need this, and y'all have met the need. How do you do that? By the faithfulness of God's people. Who gets the blessing for it? Does the church? Nope. You. The church is nothing more than the body. The church is not this building. The church is you. You can take this group of people and stick them out on the street corner and you can have church. It might not be comfortable. But it's church. Because church is you. And so you take this card. In just a minute, we're going to pass that out. And what we're going to do there is we're going to ask you, having prayed, I'm sure you've already been praying about a figure that you would like to give. You can start small. Faith always starts small and works up. To do something is better than to do nothing. Or if you have the ability, and God has laid a figure on your heart, then do it. If you've been practicing faith promise for a long time, I've got a preacher friend, his name's Jack Baskin. And Brother Baskin just says, double it. Just double it. So if you've been given for a long time, just double it. That'll challenge you. But whatever you do, do something for the glory of God. It starts by giving your life. And then you give your treasure, because that's where your heart is. And as you give, the gift comes back to you. It's like money in the bank of heaven. And you, by the way, the interest rate's much better than 3.5. Or if you got a CD now, you might get 0.68. Amen? Depending on how much you got. I think mine is at 0.68 because it ain't much. In the bank of heaven, the dividends are always rolling in. But you got to put something in there. You got to put something in there. If you will, God will fill your cup. I lift it up. If you lift it up, God will use you mightily. God will use you mightily.